You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Coming up, we take a look at plans to adopt self-insurance for Wisconsin state and local government employees.
First, there are some job skills that just can't be automated or outsourced. They include qualities like empathy, critical thinking, and just simply getting along with others.
Yet employers across the country say they're struggling to find applicants who can demonstrate such skills. It seems things like empathy and good old common sense are in rather short supply.
Some employers go to great lengths to test for emotional intelligence, which in some situations may turn out to be more valuable than IQ. And we want to know what you think about soft skills and how important they are in your workplace. You can join in the conversation at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234.
Kate Davidson is with us now. She's a Wall Street Journal reporter covering the U.S. economy and Federal Reserve. Her piece on soft skills is linked on the Central Time Facebook page. Kate, thanks for joining us today.
Hi, thanks so much for having me.
Well, what skills are we talking about here?
Well, it's funny, when I asked, I talked to economists and professors and academics and employers about what is a soft skill, what does it mean, and everyone kind of has a different answer, but you mentioned some of them in your intro, you know, the ability to get along with your coworkers, to take constructive criticism without, you know, lashing out at your boss, even just, you know, dressing professionally, showing up on time, speaking professionally. Communication is a really big one. It's kind of wishy-washy. It's like you know it when you see it. But all of these things employers say are extremely important and make a big difference in terms of, you know, who is an employee that can just sort of get the job done, come in, punch in, and leave, and who really stands out and can excel in the job.
But why? Why are these skills in such short supply in today's job market?
Well, it's an interesting question, and it's really difficult to answer, but I think, you know, a couple things are going on here. Number one, some of this reflects, to the scarcity, kind of reflects some really significant shifts in the economy that have been happening over many decades. You know, one of them is that, you know, you mentioned early on automation, you know, automation and outsourcing has happened, and so a lot of jobs that people used to be able to do where they would come in and they kind of just had one task, and they were sort of doing it on their own. They didn't necessarily have to deal with other people. Now, the responsibilities that people have at work have really become much broader. They're asked to do a lot more different kinds of tasks. For example, you might think of, you know, decades ago, you would have a filing clerk, and it might be a young woman. She would come in and she would just do that. Now, she might be an administrative assistant who has to answer phones. She has to set up meetings. She has to make travel arrangements for the boss. She or he, of course, has to, you know, deal with a number of people in the office. It might be more of like an office manager type role. And so that just requires a lot more of these soft skills that we're talking about. And the other piece of that is that manufacturing jobs used to make up a much larger share of the labor force. And now we've shifted to more of a service economy where things like education, travel, you know, restaurants, bars, healthcare jobs have grown. So a lot of those kinds of industries, obviously, people are dealing much more with customers, and that also requires more of this sort of these softer skills that we're talking about.
We hear about automation and technology and outsourcing of jobs. One could argue that computers are able to do things like solve problems and organize information. So which human skills are computers and automation unable to mimic that well?
Well, it's kind of, I think the big one is that empathy, that empathy piece, and sort of the working across many different groups. For example, this is a little bit of a tangent, but I found this so interesting. I was talking to a factory owner who said, you know, it used to be that you could go out on my factory floor, and we have, you know, sort of these high level, like white collar, if you will, engineers, and then you have the shop workers. And now, if you go out on the floor, you can't tell the difference between those guys because you know, the machines are now run by these very high-tech computers, and the guy that maybe used to kind of come in and, again, just do that one sort of basic job, he's now responsible for working this very sophisticated piece of equipment. If it breaks down, he has to be able to call the, you know, manufacturer in Europe and explain the problem to them and fix the solution. He has to deal with the engineers and maybe these high-level customers and explain to them, well, here's what we can do with our machinery. And it's again, kind of this much broader set of skills that you have to be able to use and write a computer, there's only so much the computer can do, clearly.
We're talking with Kate Davidson of the Wall Street Journal. She's written some pieces on soft skills and why they are so sought after in the workplace and perhaps a bit more hard to come by for employers who are doing the hiring. Kate, what is driving increased demand for these soft skills?
Well, the demand is coming from, some of the factors that I mentioned, sort of this, there's just that more jobs require these skills. But I guess if we were to, I'm going to sort of answer a different question, or think about the supply issue, and you were asking earlier, mm-hmm. kind of why are these so elusive? There are, again, it's not easy to answer, but there are a number of different possible explanations. Of course, education is a big, possibility here. Some people have suggested kids just kind of aren't learning some of these skills in school anymore. And so there are definitely, I talked to folks who run different kinds of training programs for young and old people. And I want to make clear, that was another suggestion as well. It's just millennials. They're just lazy. You know, they just don't have the same work ethic that older generations had. And, I'm sure that there's a little bit of something to that. But I talked to plenty of employers who said, no, I see this with older workers as well. So I think that, and it might be that some of those older workers, again, used to have a job where they weren't interacting with customers as much, or they were doing a narrower set of skills, and now, after the recession, of course, also, they're maybe in a different position, or the industry they're in is downsizing. We're seeing that a lot, especially, again, in manufacturing, and so people are just having to adapt, and it's that adaptability piece that's really hard because it's expensive. It's a lot of money to say, well, I might not have some of these skills, so I'm going to find this training program and I'm going to pay for it. And also, employers don't pay for those programs as much. It used to be much more common that you would bring a worker on and you'd train them yourself, and that's not happening as much. So it's sort of this perfect storm. There's a lot of different factors that are contributing to this this problem.
You said millennials have gotten this bad rap we've mm-hmm. read about for work ethic. But in overall, why do you think work ethic, this skill, is in decline?
I'm not really sure. So another kind of possibility that was floated, two things are coming to mind. Number one is the way that we communicate. And this does sort of go back to the millennials a little bit, is that so much communication is done over email and now texting. And it's sort of, younger people that are coming into the workforce, maybe the older generations are not as comfortable with that. Young people are comfortable communicating in that way, but their bosses sort of look at this and see it as unprofessional. And so there's sort of this culture clash a little bit, I think. And I've talked to some employers who recognize, look, that's not necessarily a bad way to communicate. We just kind of all need to get on the same page. Another interesting sort of theory is that younger people used to have high school jobs. They had part-time jobs. Now you have, an increase in extracurriculars, trying to pad up their resume, when you're getting ready to go to college. Kids are a lot more involved in that. Also, during the recession, a lot of the types of jobs, part-time jobs that would go to, say, high school or college students, they were harder to get because you had older workers who perhaps were laid off, and they were kind of taking those jobs that were sort of lower on the totem pole. And so the unemployment rate, if you go back and look at some of those rates for high schoolers or young people in their early 20s, the unemployment rate for them was very high, was a lot higher during those recession years. So, maybe they went to school, and maybe they even stayed in school, went to grad school because the work, the labor market was lousy. Now they're coming in, and they don't have any experience with workplace culture. And that's, I think we maybe take for granted, those of us who had summer jobs or jobs in high school and college take for granted that you really do learn a lot through that process. And maybe there's a lot of younger people coming into the labor force who just haven't done that.
We have a message here from Karen in Madison. She says, I certainly agree that soft skills help, but do you have any help for people on the autism spectrum who are diligent, loyal workers but are simply blind when it comes to these soft skills? Karen seems to be saying not everyone has the ability to have soft skills.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think that that's a really, that is a really important point. And do I have any advice? No, I wish I did, but I do think that those dynamics are, I think they're getting more attention. I can't tell you how many emails I got in the wake of my story from people who are saying, hey, we have a program to address this and we're doing this. You should check out our school or you should check out our program and see what we're doing. And I can't recall that any of them specifically related to people on the autism spectrum, but sure, I mean, I do think that's definitely an issue, and it's still sort of the old age first impressions matter. I think that's another thing that that I learned in talking to employers, is they do make sort of quick judgments about employees. And certainly, right, if you just don't have some of those skills for whatever reason, you could be at a disadvantage. But it sounds like there is a movement toward helping people more with that. So hopefully that will, you know, continue to change and improve in the coming years.
We're talking about the soft skills that employers say are increasingly important to productivity and yet hard to come by. Kate Davidson is with us from the Wall Street Journal.
And you can join in at 800-642-1234. If you are an employer, which skills do you value in your workers? How easy is it to find workers with these soft skills, being able to communicate with other people, work well with others, show up on time? And for everyone who has a coworker, have you found some colleagues just have the right something to make them great to work with? What do they possess? How have you developed your own soft skills? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You can also post on the Central Time Facebook page.
We'll pick up that conversation after this short break. Stay with us here on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time. I'm Kate Archer-Kent.
And I'm Rob Ferret. We're looking at these soft skills in demand by employers in today's job market. Sure, you've got the technical skills, but do you have the people skills? Can you get along with the humans in your workplace, with your customers, your distributors? Call 800-642-1234 if you want to join the conversation. You can share your story. Are you an employer struggling to find workers with these soft skills like communication, critical thinking, common sense? As an employee, what have you done to develop these kind of skills and to use them in your workplace? Call in at 800-642-1234, or you can post on the Central Time Facebook page.
We're picking up the conversation with Wall Street Journal reporter Kate Davidson, who covers the U.S. economy and has written about soft skills. Kate, in your articles, you mentioned employers do some interesting things to assess soft skills. One employer actually took the prospective employee out to dinner with their spouse and family to see the interaction and how they interact with family members.
Yeah, I thought that one was particularly interesting. I think one of the big takeaways in writing the story is that employers, it's not just that employers kind of can't find as many job candidates with these skills, is that they're sort of perplexed about, you know, how do you know when you're interviewing, like how can you identify these traits in someone just by looking at a resume or just by having a having them in for an interview? And it's very difficult because some people interview well and then you get them in and kind of find that they don't work out. And I mean, that's always been a problem for employers, I think, but it's now, I think they're realizing that if they need or they want to pay a lot more attention to it up front and try and figure that out so that they don't make a bad hire, because it's expensive, and it's expensive to replace someone, and training is expensive. So, for example, if you're going to bring someone on to a company and train them in some sort of very complex issue or a complex system or complex machinery, you don't want to bring them in and do all of that and then find out that they never show up to work on time, or that you can't come to them with criticism because you're worried that they're going to blow up at you or something like that. So they're investing a lot more up front in trying to kind of figure out the right sort of employee, and it's not easy.
Let's take a call now. Chris from Baraboo. Hi, Chris.
Hello, how are you doing?
Good. What would you like to add about soft skills?
Well, I guess I'm just echoing the comments that it seems like younger people, even ones that we have working where I work at, when they're initially brought on board, they don't ask any questions. If there's a probationary period, they'll call in sick prior to that. It just, I don't know, the impression is not there where it looks like you're confident they're going to show up for work tomorrow, I guess. That's, and I'm not sure if it comes from school, y'all, if possibly school or parents can do more to, y'all, to set the example that you don't want to look like the weakest link of where you're employed or where you're, or what you're doing, I guess. But I think that's what sometimes I get out of it.
Chris, can I ask you what industry this is in?
Actually, we're corrections.
Ah. Kate?
Yeah. I mean, I think that's so interesting, right? Just kind of knowing that, look, when you're on probation, you don't call in sick. It's just, right, it seems like such a basic thing. And, you know, I think a lot of this, one thing that I didn't mention was that a lot of what's happening, or another reason why this is kind of so important now, is that the labor market has gotten very tight. In other words, with the unemployment rate coming down so low, it's just harder there are fewer workers, first of all, who are looking for jobs. There are fewer unemployed people. And so employers kind of have a smaller candidate pool to choose from. They're competing more against each other for the best kind of workers. So a colleague of mine just kind of floated this suggestion that, look, maybe 6 or 7 years ago, if you had a job in a restaurant and you knew it was hard for you to get that job and there might not be another one waiting, you probably weren't going to make sure that you showed up on time and that you kept that job and you had bills to pay. I don't know if that's part of it, that now maybe there's more competition, that jobs are pretty plentiful, that people maybe are not as worried. I'll find something better if this doesn't work out, and I'd rather stay out late with my friends and, yeah, call in sick the next day or whatever it is. But I thought that was an interesting point, and maybe that kind of factors into it. But it's just another thing that's made it harder for employers to be picky and choosy. You know, during the recession, they kind of had a much bigger pool of people to choose from.
Chris, thanks so much for your call. Let's go to Raina in Oregon. Hi, Raina.
Hello. My question is, I'm hearing a lot of talk about millennials maybe not grasping a job or the soft skills that are needed for a certain job. I'm 24, and I wanted to know if there was anything in your work or your writing that you encountered that was related to, like, millennials in the workplace that, I don't know, just don't vibe with the types of skills that are needed for, you know, said job. Is that something common more, or, you know, like a workplace not fitting, I guess, the millennial mindset with these types of jobs?
Yeah, I mean, I do think that there's something to that. I talked to a professor in Pennsylvania, and at his university, they run like a work center on the workplace, and they talk to students a lot about you know, how to prepare for the workplace, and training and professionalism is a huge piece of it. And he kind of had this nice sort of analogy, and he said it's like a workplace, you know, is every workplace, it's like every workplace has their own recipe. And you go in and you don't know the recipe. You kind of have to learn it. So, is it cool to come in jeans? You know, you're gonna have to figure that out. But right, don't go to work on the first day in jeans. It's a little narrower, I realize, than kind of what you're asking about. But I think that his overall point was that, right, some workplace cultures, there's a huge spectrum now. It's not like it was 30 or 40 or 50 years ago when you were in an office, a professional office. All of them kind of had the same standard for dress and for professionalism. There's a broad range now. So, yeah, I think maybe there are a certain group of people that younger people especially expect, for example, more flexibility perhaps at work. Or, like I was saying earlier, you know, they don't think it's a big deal if they're on their phone texting, because maybe they're answering an email actually from a client, or maybe they're texting a client or doing something work related. But I talked to some folks who said that there are older people in their office who would see that and think the person is kind of just wasting time. So there can be kind of this culture clash. I don't know if I could identify, say, an industry where it's just not good for millennials. I think it just really depends. But I think that it's just it's hard for younger people certainly to figure these things out. And I talked to some employers too who said, look, we realize our customers are getting younger, so we need to adapt too. We're not always expecting younger workers to come in and just do things the way we do them. We want to learn from them as well, and we want to serve our younger customers, and things are changing. But all of this is just, I think it's slow. It's slow moving. It's a slow process.
Raina, thanks so much for your call. Kate, if you realize you don't have these soft skills or you feel lacking in some area and you realize that you're lacking, are there ways that you can cultivate these qualities, perhaps even on the job?
Sure. Well, I mean, I think that having open communication with your superiors is clearly really important. I talked to some bosses who said that they have started instituting more regular reviews. You know, you kind of think of the traditional annual employee review once a year. You sit down. Some bigger corporations said, "Oh, we do them like at least quarterly, and sometimes have managers sit down just once a month to talk about, you know, say, career goals or areas to work on, room for improvement, things like that." So obviously, if you can be one of the qualities employers want is to see that people are proactive and taking the initiative. I think that if you're going to your boss and asking, how can I improve on these things or work on them, that's obviously going to help. This is a little bit funny, but I talked to one big staffing firm that said he's seeing a lot of companies encouraging their younger employees especially, but even people who are sort of in line to become managers or move up the chain, they're encouraging them to do Toastmasters, learning how to get out and speak in front of a room full of people and improve your speaking skills. That's another way that you can do this. I talked to a group that does training for basically IT. It's kind of an IT-type training program. People that are transitioning from other industries and want to move into the IT field, and they do these exercises, a six-week program, and one of the things they do to build soft skills is they read Humans of New York. Are you guys familiar with this?
I'm going to have to stop you there. Kate, thank you so much for joining us. That was Kate Davidson, Wall Street Journal reporter covering the U.S. economy and the Federal Reserve. Her article on soft skills is on our Central Time Facebook page.